Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. Hello, paranormal peeps. How has your week been? Mine's been very interesting and very hot, as I'm sure yours has. So I've just managed to sit outside for 3 minutes and I thought I'd then come in and do my segments because it's much cooler inside. So this week we have our monthly round table with Deborah, and we talk about all things Cannock Chase plus alien big cats and what on earth is going on in the news with all these whistleblowers talking about how spacecraft have been intercepted and taken by the US government. Very interesting. So, without further ado, here is me talking to Deb and Deb. Enjoy.
Welcome to the monthly chat, which has stretched a little bit because of me, I'm afraid. It's been a while since we met. When have we three met again? Thankfully, not in thunder, lightning or in rain. In 23 degrees down here. So,
It's been warm up here as well.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
It's been lovely.
I'm not used to being like this. Just 1 second, I've got to grab my laptop. Oh, Max took the dog out. The windows are shut, so we, you know,
nice and quiet.
Yeah, he's took him for a walk now. It's cooling down a bit.
Yeah.
And I've got my laptop there. So, Michaela, if you just tell us about Cannock, and then I'll just say to you, what area of Cannock were you in? And I've got my map. We'll go from there.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Now, we've just got to make sure that my memory is working. Because I'm really bad at the moment. I started taking some new tablets for my age, and they haven't quite kicked in the memory department yet. So I'm at the stage of, you know, that man off the telly with the dark hair and the mustache.
Can't remember his name.
You remember that place with trees, that circular bit?
Yeah, I'm safe. But I'd like a cricket at the minute.
So we all went up to Cannock Chase for the first time, which was just at the beginning of half term, so a week last Saturday. Right. And I, being the more senior of the group, insisted on a proper campsite to stay in because everybody else was up for just chucking a tent down somewhere. And I think I was sensible in the end because everywhere we went during that night was not fit for chucking a tent down.
No.
It's very dense there. So we got there, we put up our tent, and then we went for a walk around. The first place we went was Castle Ring.
Right, that makes it easy for me. I know lots about Castle Ring. It was built in 500 BC.
Oh, wow.
That's how old it is.
That is old.
It is incredibly old. We're not sure why it was built because it's never been, as far as I'm aware, it's never been dug. So we don't know if it's a burial mound or whatever, but it must have been really important.
Yeah.
And in the olden days when the coast of Britain went much further out, Castle Ring was a central point of England.
All right.
And I got instantly, I'll tell you what we've got. We've got the Castle Ring Howls. So you've got, if I remember rightly, it's a couple, 2013. No, it was a gentleman, 2013. Listen to this, Michaela. A man was out walking his Labrador around the ancient Iron Age Hill Fort of Castle Ring, and he heard the distinct sound of abnormal and unearthly howling coming from the surrounding damp and misty woodland. Oh, so loud was the noise that his dog immediately began to draw back and cower. His name was Mr. Chapman, and he said that he saw, upon glancing into the trees, he saw two bright, fiendish yellow eyes glaring menacingly back at him, and he ran like the wind. Oh, goodness. That's not the only report at Castle Ring. Wait for this one. This is... This guy called it the hair-covered man-like entity. 2004, a gent called Alec Williams was driving past the car park that sits at the base of Castle Ring, and you'll have seen that. It's like a really tree-covered, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he said he's sat there and he witnessed what he described as a man-like entity that lumbered across the road and went into the trees. He said the sighting lasted barely a few seconds. I think it was Nick Redfern that collected this report.
Right.
It was about 7 feet tall with short, shiny, dark brown hair. It had a large head and eyes that glowed bright red. And Mr. Williams stated that as he slowed his vehicle, he witnessed something akin to a camera flash coming from the woods. And he also described a noise of somebody going, whoo. So I'm not really sure what he means about the camera flash, unless it were energy of some kind, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, or a portal. Maybe it came out of a portal, yes, or went into one.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So if we think maybe Castle Ring, say it was important because of the energy of it, and that's why, to have built it all that time ago, there must have been a real reason why they put it there.
Yeah.
I have this theory that because paranormal groups have been going down there for years and years and years and years, that we've opened a number of portals or energy tears, I don't know what to call it, you know, and we go home and we don't shut them down. So then you've got all of these beings that can come through, hence the 12 werewolf reports that were reported to the police, but they're just the ones that were reported.
And I've got a question, Michaela. If you'd have known all that before you went, love, would you have gone?
Yes, that's why I went. Because the thing was, because I had a theory similar to Deborah's, that I thought there are so many different things reported around there. Like every single cryptid, ghost, being, UFO that you've ever heard of has been sighted there. So there must be a portal.
There's got to be a pair somewhere.
Yeah, that they're coming through. And then they just kind of obviously come through, minding their own business, whatever it is they're doing. And some poor human is like, what? Yeah. What's that?
I notice patterns. Patterns are my thing because I'm a Ehlers syndrome. And on the outskirts of the chase, like where you've got, say, the German War Cemetery, and then to follow the motorway side down like that, all of those reports are kind of like canine in origin, so like dogmen, werewolves. And the Bigfoot reports are kind of central and run down the middle of it. But you're right. In Canic Chase, people report everything from a black-eyed child.
Yeah.
I had a case recently, and the chap said his wife was a runner and she was out with a running group, and that's what they did in the chase. And they saw this really strange girl coming towards them. And she said it was like really bad weather. And she was out there with no coat on or anything like that. And she just, 1 minute she was there and the next minute she vanished. And it reminded me very much, Deb, of that, what you saw, that thing with the... Yeah,
gaping mouth.
Ooh, yeah, I remember that.
You said she was a young girl, didn't you?
Yeah.
What if we're dealing with something at Canuck that is showing itself in the best way possible to scare the absolute bejesus out of you?
Yeah.
So it's actually like a shape-shifting thing. So it's the same energy, but it's presenting itself differently.
Yeah, that's one of my theories. I think we've got a number of things going on at the Chase.
Yeah.
You've got the German War Cemetery and this military of defence.
Yeah,
land.
we went there as well.
And the Pye Green Tower, which is also
Yes, we went there. And that's where we did get one thing, which I will
mention. Tell me, what did you get at the Pye Green Tower?
If I just kind of quickly go around, so we went to Castle Ring, we walked all the way around, and then we went into the middle and we used quite a lot of equipment and did some calling out, and nothing happened, but it was only kind of sunset dusk, so it wasn't dark right then. So then we went to so then we did a 4-hour walk through the woods and the forest, and it was quite funny because we set off with all our equipment from the campsite. Now the campsite is in the Chase. Yeah. It's a wild camping thing. It's not it begins with T. I've completely Takaroo, it's called.
Yeah,
you have to take your own toilet, which is quite an experience, I'll tell you. Sat in a little tent on a port-a-loo, having a poo in the woods with loads of people around you.
Super.
so we set up with all these bags and this big trolley that we'd got. So I went with the group I'm part of, which is the Other Realm. Hi, ladies and Mark. and poor old Mark was hoiling this big kind of trolley. And literally after 100 yards, we were just like, this is ridiculous. We can't do this.
No.
So me and Mark went back, dumped half the equipment, and then we just carried stuff in our bags, and we still didn't use it all.
No.
But it was very, very atmospheric walking through the forest in the pitch dark. Mm. But literally nothing scary happened. The scariest thing that happened was we came across a herd of deer. And they looked a bit like aliens in the dark with their eyes glowing. But there wasn't a twig snap. There wasn't a funny shape. There weren't any eyes. It was literally the night off of anything scary. We were like, we're here. And they all went, oh, sod you. We're hiding. We're not coming out. we were even looking at the sky going, there must be some UFOs about, surely. Anyway, I think we just reeked of desperation, basically. And, so we went to Pye Green Tower. Yeah. And on the ghost box, the SB7, we got a girl's voice through, but literally once, just one thing that kind of went, when we were calling out to the black-eyed child, basically. So that was the only thing that happened. And then we walked back down the road to the cemetery.
Yeah.
I got freaked out because there was a taxi that was kind of loitering around, but I just think he was having a break, to be honest.
Probably, yeah. Weirdness of a break, though.
I'm more scared of humans than I have of... it's like, I don't want that man to get out of his car. Why is he there? So then we trot down to the cemetery and start calling out for ghosts. Now, I felt, and this is with no proof whatsoever...
No,
I've been doing a lot of meditation recently, and I've discovered that, and I don't know enough yet to say whether it's just all a coincidence, but I keep predicting things that for some reason I just know are going to happen. It could all be put down to coincidence, like I knew my friend was going to get this job, she got the job. I knew my friend was going to have a baby girl, she's having a baby girl. But it's all things that you say, well, you know,
50-50.
It could be, yeah. I was trying to get through to the hospital time and time and time again, and I was just walking past my phone that I'd put on the stairs in annoyance. And as I looked at it, a thought popped into my head and went, ring now, it'll be free. And I did, and it did. So these sorts of things keep happening. And then when I was at the cemetery, we were calling out again with the SB7, which felt really intrusive, actually, because we had a speaker on it, and I felt really uncomfortable with this white noise going in a graveyard, basically. But one of the woman who was with me, Kate, she shouted out, you know, are there any service people here that would like to talk to us, tell us your story? And she says, oh, I feel like there's a man here. And in my head, it said Oscar.
Right.
But then we were calling out, because I know Oscar with a K is a German name.
Yeah.
So it's just stuff like that, but nothing tangible happened.
Yeah.
Except for the girl's voice.
I wouldn't. I've been to Panic on numerous occasions, and I've never had activity. So it's not like it's something you're doing wrong or something you're lacking in. The hardest thing for anybody that has an ability is to trust it and believe in it. Because we're taught from the moment we come out that we shouldn't believe any of these things. They're just silly thoughts. They're just daydreams. They're just, you know, I think it's your intuition. And we're coming. Don't take this the wrong way when I say this, but at our age, we are coming into the age of the crone.
Yes.
And the crone means the wise woman.
Wisdom, she, yeah.
Crown. So yeah. I think that natural ability will ramp up at certain periods in people's lives.
Yeah.
So for 13, 14 for me was a hard time. I had lots of activity that was happening around me. And then it just went quiet. And then again in my 20s. And I think it's like that for lots of people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's you, isn't it, Deb? Yeah.
Yeah.
Has your kind of intuition ramped up then, Deb?
I've just started to trust it more. And I only did about, I only started trusting about 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I could explain everything away.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, oh, no, it's just possibly this or it's just possibly that. Or, and, yeah, I think since I started to trust it, before I felt silly saying it out loud.
I do.
And then I felt like, well, what if I get it wrong? Then I look silly. You know, it was more about my ego than anything, really.
Yeah.
And it was just something just said to me, like, just kind of trust it, Deb. Because my gut instinct has never let me down. There's not even paranormal situations. There have been situations where my brain has gone, no, do not walk around that corner.
Yeah.
And every warning signal. So I trust it then. But then if I hear something audibly or I get some, like, automatic writing, then I've got to pull it apart and analyse it. And I just learned. I just got real selfish with it, Michaela, and just thought, no, it's happening. I accept that it's happening around me. I might be able to do something good with this.
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe that is a thing. What about you, Deb? Have you had any things happening?
I tend to do. The only thing I seem to do is I'm able to pick up, even when I can't see somebody, say, Deb's at the other side of the mall from me.
Mm.
I tend to be able to pick up when people aren't right.
Yes.
If there's something going on, they've had a problem or they're not feeling well or they're in a bad mood or that I've started to be able to tune into that a little bit, but I've not really done much with it. I've just kind of thought, oh, I need to message somebody. And
yeah, like I always say, you're in me energy.
Yes.
That's exactly how it feels, doesn't it?
You've done it with me.
You've done it with me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you okay? You're in my energy. Are you all right? What's going on? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But isn't that amazing if we all lived in the same tribe?
Yeah.
And we did that on a daily basis. People would call us like excellent psychics and telekinesis. And maybe that's just what we are capable of doing.
Yeah.
When trust ourselves completely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I said this on, I was talking to the guys from Pursuit of the Paranormal podcast a few weeks ago. And so sorry if everyone's heard this story before.
No,
so when I was about, I think it was about 29, it was just before I met my husband. And I was about to do a big move. I was moving from Yorkshire down to Marlow in Buckinghamshire, kind of edging my way to London, trying to you know, make the break of being an actress in
Bright Lights.
But I didn't quite dare to go to London. So I had a friend in Marlow, so I went there first.
Why not?
And but my mum had a friend who was a psychic, Patsy. And I'd been to mediums before, and it's like, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. But I went to Patsy, and my goodness, that woman blew me away. Sadly, she's passed on now, but went into this, she lived in a high-rise flat, just really normal woman.
Mm-hmm.
She said, sit down at the table. And all I had to do was hold her hands across the table.
Yeah.
And it was like something off the television. It was like somebody like connected us with electricity. Yeah. And there was electricity going from my feet, up my legs, through my arms, through her, down, back. And it was like, it was going zoom, zoom.
Blowing, yeah.
And it was just amazing. And funnily enough, just before I'd gone in, when I was at university, I'd started reading into the idea of guardian angels. And I'd sort of started doing meditation, and my friend's mum, who also sadly passed away now, bought me this amazing book called, I think it's called something like Meet Your Guardian Angel, and it has meditations and things that you can do. So I'd been doing all of this, and I thought, well, this is going to be a really good chance to see whether there's anything to it, you know, because I think as humans, we crave proof, don't we?
Yeah.
It's really hard to trust, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And so I said to my guardian angel, before I went in to see Patsy, if you're there, please make yourself known. And she did. Well, he did. It did.
Yeah.
Because Patsy was telling me all these things about my future more than anything else, all of which happened.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, your guardian angel's here. Oh my goodness, it's bright. I can hardly see. And I was just, my jaw, like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, who could have ever known that I'd been stood outside in my head going, if you're there, let yourself be known. And lots of things. She connected me to my spirit guide, who's my great grandmother. And she told me to get the photo out of her that I had in this drawer upside down, covered with clothes.
Right.
Get her out and start talking to her. And she's been in my living room ever since, wherever I've lived. Josephine is there and I talk to her.
Why not?
Yeah. But the thing was that I've just taken a very long time to come round to was that Patsy said, you can do the same thing as me. And later in your life, you will be able to do it like I'm doing it now. And I've been kind of waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting for this kind of lightning bolt of like, woo, I can suddenly, you know, do what she did. And I was actually, I mentioned it to another medium about 3 or 4 years ago, and she just looked at me and went, you're not ready yet. And I was like, oh. And I'm like, well, because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. I'm convinced totally all the time that I'm not long for this world, so I'm thinking I might live a bit longer than if I'm not ready for it yet, but maybe this is the beginning of my journey, and I'm not going to be able to do anything until I am the crone.
Things happen when they are supposed to.
Yes.
One of the hardest lessons I have had to learn is patience. And that might sound really simple to some folk, but I used to try and rush situations. So, like, if I wanted to go on holiday, I'd rush it and I'd do it, and it'd probably end up like as a mistake, and I'd lose loads of bloody money, and then I'd be down and all of that. Getting to my age, that I'm 56 now, I just kind of trust that the right thing's going to happen. I've just got to wait for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even in my worst year of my life, I'm thinking there's going to be something at the end of this. It's kind of a liberation. I know it's not all for nothing. I think that's hard.
Yeah.
Trusting that, I don't know, I don't even know what name to give the person that holds you safe. I don't really know what to call them. But you have, from being a child, you have an inner voice. And I am utterly convinced utterly convinced that that voice is our guide, and we're just taught not to trust it because we're being silly or dramatic.
Yeah.
Oh, look, away with the fae, I used to say. Oh, our Deb's away with the fae. Yeah. So we shut kids down, and it's awful. I think we do it to you. I'm 48 and I'm doing a circuit. I'm talking on stage and there's people out there, and I still cannot see myself as this. I don't know. What would I say? Like an inner saboteur almost.
Yeah.
So you know when sometimes when a psychic, do you think you're peeing on my leg and telling me you're training here, mate? You haven't got a clue. And these other times, like you, when you get something right, we should rejoice in that.
Yes.
And we don't do it. We don't. We say, oh, no, we're not allowed to do that. Let's keep that quiet. I think when you rejoice in it and open up in it, you're just going to get better and better, Michaela.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, what you need to do is, what I started to do was, something would pop in my head and I'd go, I don't know where this has come from and I'm going to put it out there, but I've just got this in my head. And I think that's the easiest way to do it. And the more that you do that, the more confidence you build.
Yeah.
And somebody will turn around and go, it's weird you should say that, but... And then that kind of, that validates what you were thinking and you were right all along, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the easiest way to do it, is do it that way. This is coming to me, Ed, and I'm going to put it out there. I don't know if it means anything to you or whatever.
Yeah.
Some people see, don't they? Like, and some people hear audibly, and some people... That's the tool. What you've got to learn to trust is you've got yourself, you. Yeah. So if something comes audibly, you say, oh, God, I've just heard. And, like, say now, I got that wrong. Say those three words. I got that wrong. Go forward. I got that wrong. That's the worst that can happen. That.
Yeah.
So when you boil it down to that and you think, maybe I will get it wrong, or maybe it's for later down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it can depend on where the information's coming from.
Yeah.
So you might use more than you realise. You might think, oh, I'm only an audio, like, psychic. I only hear things. But I bet you're not. I bet you know when your kids are sick and you know when your friend's fed up with you and all of those things that we pick up on humans. We should just rejoice in them and say, good on you, kid. Yeah, you got that right, kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm able to do this.
Yeah, like you are. You trust your instincts, son. You know, you trust your instincts. You got it right. We got young girls and young lads out there who are coming into teenage years and they're going through the biggest changes of their lives. All of that kinetic energy can cause activity around them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if somebody had said to me, oh, I have no idea why that's happening, Deb, but that kind of normal and it's what people got, I think I'd have had a very different life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is weird, isn't it? Because I work with normal people because I'm a teacher, and there's lots of things that I can't say in the staff room because I have mentioned one or two things, and you just get that dead look in someone's eye, and they go, "Oh," as if to say, "Oh, I hadn't had you down as a mad woman." Do you know what I mean?
It was like, my opinion.
I better not mention that again.
But if you sat down with him though and had a brew,
one to one,
story in the family somewhere, you know,
maybe you never know. Now, I've just got to admit, I got something wrong. I'm holding my hands up now. In my absolute panic of sending you the Zoom link and then realizing I hadn't actually sent
the timer on, I can see it.
You know what? I pay $15.99 a month for Zoom, and I've signed us into my free account instead of the one I pay for.
Right.
So I'm really annoyed with myself.
Don't worry. That's it.
So if we could carry on for a little bit, we might have to come out and pop back in again.
Yeah.
That's
Is it okay? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all right.
Paying all this money and now I've gone into the wrong account.
I'm trying to work out how much I pay for Spreaker. I think mine's about £16-17 Spreaker. And it's just the same. You just send a link, you bring them into the studio and you can record or you can put it out live or, you know, same option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of what you're used to, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, shall we...
A question out about going back to Caleb Chase.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wanting to know why there's been so many dogman sightings around the military cemetery. What is it? Is this going back to what me and you discussed last night, Deb, about, like, super soldiers?
Yeah.
Is it they've been, like, a dead, you know, going back to sort of RoboCop time?
Yeah, a super, that kind of, engineered.
Yeah, and that's the word I was looking for, thank you. Yeah, like an engineered thing, and they're coming, they're hovering around there because that's where their last part of their body resides. So, yeah.
Yeah. But are they tied to that ground somehow? Is it like, is there a way of like trapping them on that base?
Yeah.
So that they can't leave the base. I think I'm going to agree with you, Deb. I reckon there's something going on. One of the first things that came out about Pi Green Tower was the fact that they were supposed to, like Stalin, have impregnated a female.
Yeah.
With animal DNA. And the hopes of making this really dumb, really strong super soldier.
Yeah.
It's said that obviously after 9 months when nothing happened, they just abandoned her. But a gestation period was longer because, and that's what they say. But the other side of the coin is people say, oh no, the government made up the pig man to kind of cover up the strange stuff that does happen on the base. So Brockton is one area where the prisoners of war were, and they were reporting during World War II that they would not go out into that forest on their own. And they weren't describing a werewolf, like a tail and, you know, dog-like legs. They're describing this thick, muscular thing with a dog's head and a snout. Can you imagine? Say the fittest man you've ever seen in your life, and then you merge him with an animal.
Yeah.
So he's got no morals now, you know, he's a killing machine.
Yeah.
Touchy subjects, but a lot of people believe, and I am one of them, that our government knows about these things. Yeah. And in some cases, they are even used within war to cull people because they're always on a bloody military of defence base.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Not just can it, Bempton, RAF Alconbury, Salt Fleet. Me and Jeb were chatting on the northeast coast of the UK.
Yeah.
Most of the reports are canine in Orange and Michaela. So like upright, werewolf type, old stinker, beast of Barn Strain, the Salt Fleet, Red Eyed Preacher, Chapel St. Leonard, all the way to Scotland to Lough Ilacair. Are these dogman-like things? And I couldn't work out why. And it was Deb who we were chatting, and it was like, it was defence. All the northeast coast was defended, weren't it, by these military bases?
Yeah.
What if they have been doing? If you ever go to Bempton, I'd take some real protection with you. Mm. But you can actually go on Google and have a look. If you see the drawings on those walls at the bottom of that base, they are terrifying.
Yeah.
There's just a black, inky thing there. Why? Why are people seeing this thing on there that's almost shape-shifting?
Yeah.
Michaela, it said that it can be invisible and then there, like that.
Yeah.
How do you fight that?
Almost like the Predator, sort of.
Exactly like the Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they've done some dodgy experiments over the years? You've got these, and I always get the word on, like, Chimera, it's called, isn't it? Because you hear the stories coming out of Poland and Czechoslovakia where hundreds of children were supposedly taken down into the underground bunkers. And it was just, there was nothing that people could do about it. Yeah. There's a story. Do you remember the story of the wolf in the well, Deb? The little boy fell in the well.
Yes.
And the wolf come. I'm not sure if I've told you this one, Michaela. After the war, there were several areas of Poland that were heavily mined by the Germans. And there was a lot of, like, fortified barracks and things like that within the woodlands. This person is telling me a story about Poland and why they got interested in dogmen and, like, you know, canine-type creatures. And there is a history of canine-type creatures all across Europe. And what she was telling me was that numerous children were taken down into what they call like the bunkers or the barracks down below. And after the war, they were never released. And there was a lot of kind of like mine shafts and old armaments and things like that left without in the forest. So they became quite dangerous. And some of them filled up with water, as they are prone to do. And there's a young boy, and he's playing with his friends in the forest, and he falls into one of these pits. And he's hanging onto the side, you know, like shouting for help. And they're miles away from the village. And the other children go off and think he's playing hide and seek and think, oh, he's probably gone back home, and they only leave him. And he's out there in the pitch black, this poor kid, in this pit, and a wolf comes and looks over the pit at him and says, don't go to sleep. Whatever you do, don't go to sleep. Keep singing, stay wide awake. And obviously it gets to bedtime and they realise that this boy's not here to put to bed, and the village go out and they search for him. And when they find him, he's still in the thing. He's alive, and they get him out. And he said the wolf kept him alive all night by telling him not to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because if he went to sleep, he'd have slipped within the water and he would have gone.
Wow.
I know. How's that for creepy? But as I say, I'm not sure how legit that is. But I do know what is legitimate, that there are a number of reports, written reports, where they were talking like Stalin and Hitler and other people were trying to engineer, like we were talking about before, a human super soldier.
Hybrid.
A hybrid of some kind. And they also took children who showed abilities in telekinesis or, you know, natural ability of being because they wanted to exploit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As people do. But yeah, that was a spooky one for you to end on.
Slightly.
Well, I read a book, and it's annoying because I can't remember who it was now, but I'll look it up and put it on the podcast notes. And it's a story based on that idea where loads of children who were showing telekinetic abilities were kidnapped by this particular organization and taken into these woods in the far reaches of America, and they'd make it, and what they'd do, these people, was they'd murder the kid's family and make it look like the child had murdered the family. And then they'd steal the child, and then they'd use them. And what they were doing in this book, it was an incredible story, was that all the children together were made to try and use their powers together. And what they would do is they would use them as assassins, telekinetic assassins, to assassinate politicians,
prominent figures,
business owners, and it was a really shocking story. It was amazing.
Makes you wonder how much truth's in it.
I was just going to say the same. There's got to be a thread of truth in that. Like the, I always get the word wrong. Was it the Manchurian soldiers?
Manchurian
soldiers. So you could have these people out there with abilities, and you'd say a certain word or a certain noise, and they instantly become the assassin.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's completely possible. I mean, that's how they train dogs. My friend has got an Alsatian German Shepherd dog, and they paid several thousand pounds for it because he was away quite a lot working, and his wife didn't feel safe with the children because they lived in quite a big rural house.
Right.
So they got this dog, and he's absolutely amazing, trained to within an inch of his life. But there is a word. And for goodness sake, he told it to me, and I think, why did you tell me the word? Because every time I go to stay, I have this word in my head, and I'm like, I mustn't say the word.
Because
if they say the word, then he will attack whoever is seen as a threat, even though he's a pet dog. And it's quite chilling to think about that.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, I don't know what you'd call it, by praising somebody and giving them nice things, he's still torture, he's still enslaving them, aren't
you? Pavlov's dog.
Trigger words.
Now, just before we go, I just want to really, really, really quickly mention two things.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is that you probably saw it in the news a few weeks ago that people have found DNA evidence of black cats.
Yeah.
So that has been proved that they are around the UK.
Yeah.
Which I just, it's one of those things where you sort of go, yay! I knew it!
Yeah.
And the other thing was, I just wanted to very, very quickly get your thoughts on it, which is the whistleblower who's been all over the news yesterday from America, who's basically told Congress that that spacecraft are real. There is evidence of spacecraft. The military all over the world have got several of these, and they are... they are made by non-human beings. So, yeah. I mean, what do you make of all that?
They're getting us ready for something.
Yeah, they
That's
are.
What I felt like.
There's been so much disclosure since 2017.
Yeah.
About 9 months before the illness, where they were trying to put, get us to stay in and all of the above. I believe it. I just think they are getting us ready for something, because all of a sudden, all of the children's films are about Bigfoot, and all of the adults' films are paranormal, and they're pulling them in at the cinemas, and then we're being, oh, yeah, guys, there are aliens, there are alien craft. Now, I know we've lied to you
for
generations, but now we're admitting it. Why? What's coming?
Yeah.
And when it was on the BBC News on the radio today, you could have knocked me down with a feather. I was like, what?
Yeah,
complete actually shift. On the BBC?
Yeah,
exactly. Complete shift in dynamics, isn't it? It's like, oh, yeah, they are there. But it's okay. Don't worry about it. You're all going to be fine.
Mm. I don't know if it was last week or if it's this week. They're actually doing an Alien Week on one of the channels with all the films and everything else. And you're like, that's... I know they've done like UFO stuff before, and they've done other subjects, but
it's flooding it
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost more sinister than denying that they exist.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would agree, most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it's been lovely having you both on. Sorry about my technical
difficulties.
Gremlins.
Yeah,
problems with me and my memory, and yes, if anyone's wondering, I am going through the menopause, and it seems to have hit my brain because I haven't got one anymore.
Yeah, in tech now. In
I think maybe I am an alien. Maybe that's what it is. Aliens are just women who are going through the menopause because we turn into different creatures. I am just a shell.
Yeah,
shell of my
inside.
Yeah,
what you see here today is not a confident woman. I'm just a shell of my former self. It gets better, I promise.
Yeah, it does.
Good.
Once you roll out on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my best friend told me that it's a lot longer than I thought. So it's like, oh, hooray.
You get menopause before you get your menopause. So you've got another 10 years of that first.
Oh, I'll just start taking drugs.
A G&T. Have a big G&T when you finish.
Well, it's been lovely chatting to you again. And we mustn't leave it so long last time. And yes, I know that's my fault too. So I'm sorry about everything.
We're fine. We're sorry.
Yeah.
Good. And I hope to speak to you in the next few weeks. And I hope you have a brilliant few weeks, and that you are safe, happy, and healthy, and feel amazing by the next time we speak.
You too.
You too. Good night, everyone.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you to Deb and Deb again for another fantastic chat, and I'm really looking forward to next month's. So, take care everybody, and don't forget to send your stories in to me at paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com. Please send me your stories. Just record them onto your phone and email them to me at paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com, or you can actually record your stories straight onto the Anchor webpage if you just search for Paranormal or What Podcast /messages. Okay, so have a fantastically spooky week. Keep your eyes on the skies, because you never know what you might see there. Take care, and I'll see you next time. Night.
Thank you.